This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jameson and I worked hard. This was the president's deal. And people think, oh, that's not the way it works. If you got to sit next to him, I have the best deal maker to my left. And if you don't think that we take advantage of him calling the prime minister and getting that deal done, you don't understand who's the president of the United States. So he's the closer. He gets deals done that we could never get done because he understands business. He understands deals. And that's why we're here today. So,
Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick singing the praises, standing to Donald Trump's right in the Oval Office after they announce a major trade deal with the United Kingdom. What does that mean? Well, we need expert help on that. So we go to our expert friend. Taylor Riggs joins us once again, the co-host of The Big Money Show on Fox Business. Taylor, welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, Secretary Lutnick there singing the praises of Donald Trump. What can you tell us about the details of this deal that has been billed as major?
Yeah, you know, this is interesting. I woke up this morning. I was like, gosh, I really hope it's India, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, you know, something that was a little bit of a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, oh, gosh, is the market going to be let down by some measures? We have a surplus with the UK. Howard Lutnick, this soundbite that you played, I think, before after that, he said, we're even if you exclude gold purchases. I was like, are we really going to be, what can we glean from this? Now, from the market reaction, it does seem like we can glean a few good things. First of all, this is a framework, maybe a template that other countries can use or they can pull details from. Second of all, this proves that Trump wants trade deals and he wants to get them done. And he is going to get them done. So this is good. This is what the economy, this is what the market wanted to see, that there is a path towards closure. So I see this as a direction of travel. More deals are on the way. This is one of many. Yes, this may not have been the biggie, but it shows that if you want to make a deal, we can. And I think that's why at least the market today is so excited about that, because it shows that this wasn't just throwing out numbers and we're just keeping tariffs at whatever number we want. It did interestingly show us, though, that we are keeping that 10% baseline tariff. I think a lot of people were wondering, are we taking tariffs down to zero? What are we doing? Howard Lutnick was very clear that this was a deal that's good for the UK and the UK worker, but it does also bring in revenue for us. So it shows the market that we're balancing that. And I think the market can absolutely digest about a 10% tariff. What we couldn't digest as an economy is a number like 46% or 145%, where people are looking at this and being like, oh my gosh, how do I make this work? So for me, my takeaway is this is a direction of travel, one of many. I think the EU and China, those are going to be biggies, but those are just going to take longer time.
Okay, we're speaking with Taylor Riggs, the co-host of The Big Money Show on Fox Business. You can follow her on X at Riggs Report. So what I hear you saying is this is a framework. Other countries can look at this United States, United Kingdom trade deal and see what happened there and use it as a maybe a jumping off point for getting the job actually across the finish line in other places. You mentioned some big countries there that you were hoping that we would see who this might be. China is the big fish, as I understand it. Do you expect a deal to be done with China, or is it going to turn out to be deals done around China?
I think the latter. I think deals around China. I think the market's really excited that Scott Bessent is speaking with some Chinese officials on Saturday in Switzerland. That is absolutely a positive. But I love Larry Kudlow, who was economic counsel in Trump 1.0, anchors the 4 p.m. show Eastern on Fox Business here. We had him on our show, and he said that he had been in part negotiating the 2018-2019 deal with tariff deal with China. Guess what? They renege on all their promises. They haven't kept anything. So how do you, in full good faith, try to negotiate with a country that you know isn't going to follow it anyways?
Yeah,
that's what I think we're trying to figure out. He says they're still not following this stuff that he tried to negotiate with them. What was it now? Six years ago. So I think we care less about China, even though it's the big fish. Certainly for big tech, it's the big fish, and Apple and NVIDIA. But the deals around China, I think if we could get India, South Korea, Vietnam, that's showing that we're isolating China by picking up their other countries in Asia. You know, Tapestry is a stock that I was looking at today. They make they're the owner of the Coach handbags. They said that they are insulated from tariffs because they manufacture in India, Cambodia, Vietnam, etc. And no country or vendor has more than 10% of their supply chain. So that's what like a well-diversified country looks like, and they're not really in China anymore. So if that's sort of a blueprint of what companies can do, and again, they're not manufacturing here in the United States, but is it better that they're at least at a proxy and not at China? And so I think the art of the deal has been, how do we bring people around China closer to us and away from them? Now, there are some loopholes. China can try to ship their goods to India to then ship them to us, right, to try to get around things. And that's where you have to trust that the administration is smart enough to sort of start to close those loopholes. But I think China's not going to be, I mean, probably not this year, right? I mean, like, China could be, I think the last deal, it took them 18 months.
Yeah.
I mean, so this could be the biggie, but it's going to be the big whale at the end of the road.
Okay. We're speaking with Taylor Riggs with Fox Business. She co-hosts The Big Money Show. If we're able to successfully work around China, I would assume that China would have to make moves of their own. Where does China go to if we've kind of built up a fortress around them in order to do business and to, you know, restore some economic balance for us and our country? Does China get pushed into some nefarious places to start to cover for that?
You know, you would think, oh, does China go to Russia or Iran? Here's the deal. China needs us. We consume five times from China what they consume from us. We consume $20 trillion worth of goods in a year. We are the global consumer. We are the people shopping. People in China aren't coming to America to shop the way that we are shopping in China. So without us, sure, there are other places China can go, but we're the big fish for them. They need us as the consumer to keep them afloat. You've started to see it. We were laughing earlier. There's been a few stories. One story that I...
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Loved in the Wall Street Journal is China hides all their data. So when they say their economy is growing at 5%, most economists think that's 2% to 3% above estimates. Mm. They've stopped publishing a lot of their data as well. They won't even now publish soy sauce production. They hide it. They take it off their website. They scrape it. So we don't even know what their economy is like. I think a lot of people would say, if you're not even showing us what your data is, it can't be good. We're hearing reports of riots in factories, people who haven't even been paid back pay, and now those factories are closing. I've heard there's 16 million jobs at risk due to factory closures. Oof. Factory and exports and production out of China in the manufacturing sector is near the lowest that we haven't now seen since the depths of COVID. So this shows that they're getting hit a little bit more. Now, how much? I don't know, because mm-hmm. we can't go to their country and they won't publish data. But when you start to see their central bank cutting rates, their central bank flooding the market with liquidity, their central bank injecting a trillion yuan into their currency, that's telling me there's stress in their financial system, even though I don't have the exact data.
Right.
So that's a long way of answering your question, but they need us.
Yeah.
And without us, they're going to start to have some pain. And so they're going to maybe come to the negotiating table.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's important to understand, you know, who holds the keys in a deal like that. And obviously, there's going to be a mutual benefit for doing business intra-countries. But it is important to understand that China does need the United States, that they don't hold all the cards. But then mm-hmm. the question mark is how China will react. They don't really mm-hmm. function the way we function. Their responsibility to the people is different than the American government's responsibility mm-hmm. to the people.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of all of this, balancing out all of these trade deals with tariffs and everything, is what the president continues to talk about, is bringing manufacturing production back to the United States. In your assessment from the announcements that have been made, of course, there's pomp and circumstance made around these announcements, but have we seen, is there a measurable investment being made here on the homeland to bring manufacturing and production back?
Yeah, you know, I'm mixed on that. The White House has the figure at like $5 to $8 trillion that have been announced since he became president. Some of these are legit. I mean, you have like Eli Lilly, Merck, saying like, we're going to start building manufacturing pharmaceuticals. There's no reason we shouldn't be building our key cancer drug, Keytruda,
yes.
from Merck, not in the United States. Let's open up and start manufacturing our cancer drug, our top-selling cancer drug, in the United States. So those are real tangible things. My worry has been always, I want to see the proof. I want to go 2 years from now and make sure that companies are breaking ground, that their permitting has gone through, that they are actually like posting job listings.
That it's real.
That, you
yeah.
know, right? I don't want another Wisconsin Foxconn situation where you have them fly over, they cut the ribbon, and now we have an empty land and nothing has been built for all the big factories that were promised. So that's going to take time. I mean, we know this, right? A factory could take 3 to 4 years. The number one thing going for us is this tax cut bill, where they have said that they want to do 100% total expensing, not just on factory equipment, but on actual factories. that's a game changer. The math is complicated, and I don't want to confuse your viewers. But if I can fully expense on my income statement or my balance sheet a full factory, I'm effectively writing it off.
Yeah.
So the tax implications of that, that just sort of incentivizes people to build. So the third part of that three-legged stool of deregulation and tariffs has to be those tax cuts bill and some of the details in that tax cut bill that I think will really help spur some of the manufacturing.
Taylor, last question before we let you go, because it, obviously what the president has wanted to do economically is incredibly bold. Unless you're saying that there, that certain elements of what he has campaigned on and promised are completely not going to happen. If he is successful the way he has committed himself to being successful, is this transformative for the future of the United States of America?
To me, this feels this way, because if I can grow at 3-4% GDP instead of 2 or 1.5% GDP, I've lowered my debt to GDP ratio. I've lowered my deficit spending relative to GDP. These are all those big numbers when we look at our debt, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how are we $30+ trillion in debt? Well, it doesn't have to be if you increase the amount of growth. You can grow your way out of it. And then, of course, if you tackle that with spending cuts, like coming back on spending. So again, if companies are serious, and they want to come back. And my worry is companies say, well, it takes 4 years to build a factory, and in 3 years, there's going to be a new president.
Yeah.
Then so what's the incentive?
Yeah.
That's why we need Congress to make the tax cuts permanent, not just a sunset clause in a couple years from now. That's why we really need to make sure that these companies understand that this is right for like the American economy long term, and not just a fun talking point until next midterms in 18 months.
Action, not talk, is what